This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. In the 1970s, a singer-songwriter and conceptual artist named Terry Allen came out of Lubbock and stood conventional country music on its head. Albums like Juarez and Lubbock on Everything featured wry, dry, satirical lyrics, and critics would call them contemporary classics. Last week, 7 years after his last record, Terry Allen released his latest collection of songs, already being celebrated as the spiritual successor to his early greats, an album with a curious title, Just Like Moby Dick?
I had another title for it, kind of a working title when we were doing it. But there's a lot of collaboration. There's a lot of pretty intense songs, just kind of about desperate circumstances of people's lives. And so obviously there's humor there too. But I wrote a song called Sailing On Through, and just on a fluke when we were recording, I said at the very end of it, just like Moby Dick, you know, kind of getting through this.
So better break out the bottle and bring on the glass. Fill it up with the good stuff, 'cause everything must pass.
That resonated, I think, with the whole record, and I changed the sequences of the songs and whatever, and it built a through line, and it became one thing, which is what I always try to get a record to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because you, of course, are a visual artist as well, and yeah. You come from a kind of literary background or tradition, it seems to me. I mean, a lot of your work sort of echoes some of what the great novelists do, in a sense.
Well, they're stories. You know, you tell stories, and I think I grew up around hearing these outrageous, you know, lies and stories, and I guess it just sunk in.
Go to Afghanistan. Blood on that ancient land. Let death take hold your hand, oh, my high school girl.
I remember talking one time to Guy Clark about the creative process. Now, he had a different way of approaching it.
He always lied about the creative process.
Did he?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He pulled the wool over my eyes. But, you know, he was famous for having they called him the craftsman,
right,
and all that. And he had a real sort of meticulous sort of approach to it. Do you find, you don't strike me as that kind of artist, and yet you're right there with him among the masters of Texas music.
Well, I think everybody goes about that how they go about it. But for me, it's always been, it's kind of like every word counts. And I think when you make a song, it's always about the song. You try to find the kind of world that you're making, and then you try to make it be totally true to itself.
She had a number on some paper in her purse. That was the number we tried first. Yeah, but nobody answered every time we tried. We're the only ones in the world, and even though she died.
I've always thought of songs as like these movies that happen in your head when you hear a song. They're like an abbreviation, in a sense, that just opens up a door to a world for you.
Yeah, they shut down the mill, but now there's no one around. She was the last stripper, the last club in town. Can't say that I knew her, can't say we were friends, but I still try that number every now and then.
Tell us a little bit about the inspiration there for City of Vampires. What is the City of Vampires?
The City of Vampires is a world that lived in my grandson's head, my 10-year-old grandson. He got very obsessed with vampires.
When the circus comes to town, in the city of the vampires.
So I started working on the song, just thinking about vampires. And he also said, well, there needs to be a circus, and there needs to be wolves, and there needs to be clowns, there needs to be elephants.
Well, the big top at night is aglow. Vein-painted clowns are performing.
And then also on the record, after we recorded, brought him in to do the hissing.
Oh, that's great. So that's your grandson.
So he's got co-writing credit on the record.
Now, one other question I wanted to ask you, since we had touched on Guy Clark. Someone told me that you were in possession of Guy's ashes. Is that true?
Years he told me he wanted me to put his ashes in a piece of mine, in some kind of sculpture piece, and we jived about it. I would always just say, Guy, you know, I'm going to take your ashes and I'm going to do a bronze goat and I'm going to shove your ashes right up its and he'd go, perfect. So, you know, when he died, he had gotten really interested in the Windmill Museum in Lubbock. He had seen two crow's nests in there that were in windmill derricks. And the crow's nests were from the Dust Bowl, and they were made out of only barbed wire and baling wire.
Wow.
And every time I talked to him, last 3 or 4 years of his life, he would bring up that nest, and he was trying to write a song about those crows and about that sparseness of making something so beautiful out of nothing. Actually, I think he finally did finish the song. It's on Rodney Crowell. Rodney helped him finish it, and it's on Rodney's new record called Texas, called Call Call Blues.
Dodging that buckshot, singing that song. Call, call, blues, call, call, blues. 10 against 20 if you're counting by twos. Bob, Bob, palace full of magpie chicks. Old heckle and jack instead of getting their kicks.
It seemed to me he was talking about a lot more than these crows, or what he was talking about, really what was happening to him. And so I just felt the need to make a big bronze crow. When the bronze was molten state, I poured some of the ashes in it, so it's the whole body is made out of ashes.
Wow.
And then I opened it up and put the rest inside and sealed it. But I wish I had shoved it up the crow's instead of its chest.
No more one last time, no more second chances, we've worn out all the lines.
Terry Allen's new album is called Just Like Moby Dick, and that sculpture he made using Guy Clark's ashes, well, he just donated it to the Whitliff Collections at Texas State University in San Marcos.
All that's left to